In the beginning, Sega was a happy little humble company, I think. And they released the SJ-1000.
Hello, this is Sega SJ-1000. Wonderful keyboard and marvelous wings and wonderful graphics, I said. Sega.
Yeah, all well and good and happy, but of course, over time, you want to go one step higher. So, the Mark III, also known as the Master System.
The following podcast is given a universal rating. Yippee!
Hello, 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 and welcome to podcast. Yes. This episode is going to concentrate on the Master System and the slight differences between the Japanese version and the American and European versions. But we're going to be mostly concentrating on the music rather than what the rivalry or differences are. But I'll give you a small history of the system as well. What you're currently listening to at the moment is Space Harrier. I just want you to keep this piece of music in mind, so just have a listen, notice some key points, and generally enjoy it, but just remember it for now. Okay. The Mark III, or Master System later on, the Mark III, was released in 1985 to a reasonable Japanese audience as a sequel to the SG-1000. Some basic, simplistic games, a reasonable starting lineup came across, and came up with some interesting music from the start. The Master System used the Texas Instruments music chip, the SN67489. This gave you 3 channels of square waves with a 10-octave range, which 10 octaves doesn't make sense, but bear with me here. 3 square waves and 1 white noise generator. This is good. This is fantastic. Note that what you're hearing at the moment, if you can manage to hear the music, is in stereo, but your memories of a Master System might be a bit more towards the monaural side. This is because the sound chip inside the Master System was just like the AY chip. It was in stereo, but most people didn't actually get to experience its 2-channel sound output wonderfulness because they plugged it in through the television, and their television only had 1 speaker. It's a bit of a disadvantage, and I hope that you can gain a bit more enjoyment today than what you might have done 20 years ago. Anyway, less rambling, more music. Here is Astro Warrior, Galaxy Zone section. We'll be right back. the obligatory Bubble Bobble soundtrack. Here goes. Fantastic. It's a bit of a sad moment to say that the Mark III wasn't very popular in Japan, really because the Famicom, or the NES, came earlier and took most of the market share anyway. So, in Japan, it only lasted 4 years. Sega of Japan gave up in 1989, with the last game being released as Bomber Raid. Bye bye, Japan. Start. Oh well, just let's commemorate the Japanese moments with some lovely Japanese adverts.
FM 音源 3D 機能搭載セガの人気ゲーム100が遊べるマスターシステム誕生ニューソフトエイリアンシンドロームセガマスターシステムセガ。
おー、プレディ。
セガはロールプレイングゲームも変えてしまうファンタシースター。かつてない驚異のグラフィック、壮大な SF ストーリー、その秘密は4メガファンタシースター。セガ。
Okay, let's go back in time to 1986. 1 year after Japan released their console, America had their turn. This was fine, this was fun, and America gave it a bit more of a powerful advertising regime. Actually, I'll give you a quick heads up and tell you that the Master System wasn't very popular in America neither. The NES took over most of the market share as well. But I wonder why.
Sega challenges you with the ultimate video game, the Sega Master System.
Video game? So you're saying if I buy a Master System, I'm only going to get one video game? Do I have to buy a new Master System for every new game I want? I'm confused.
Hang on!
With more accurate control, more detailed graphics, more levels of play.
Awesome!
The Sega Master System comes with power-based 2 control pads, light phaser, and 2 great video games. Hang on, it's Safari Hunt.
Gotcha!
And with other games like Rambo, Outrun, and Choplifter, the excitement never stops. The Sega Master System. The challenge will always be there.
Yeah, I know the challenge will always be there, but I didn't know the challenge was trying to understand it. Remember, this is the mid-80s. Parents not fully tech-savvy yet. Okay, what about Toys R Us? An American Toys R Us advert. This is going to be fun. This is going to get the parents and the kids raring to go. Oh, rule one of advertising. Don't overload your adverts with techno-babble or stuff that people might find confusing. Yeah, saying numbers is great, but not if you don't understand what they mean.
Hey, you just said the magic word. Now look what you did. And look, advanced video games for less at Toys R Us. The Sega Master System with 28K of memory, super sharp picture, 64 colors plus game cartridge, and all this just $129.99. And it plays these thin Sega cards packed with 256K of unlimited game power,
numbers.
From $24.99 to $29.99 each. It's the world's biggest toy store. Let's go.
By the way, at the end of that commercial, Jeffrey has a stroke. You actually see him having a stroke at the end. If you don't believe me, watch it. It's in the show notes.
Hey, Scotty.
Oh, just remember, during this commercial, it actually says, some game sounds exaggerated. So, let's play a wonderful round of Guess the Exaggerated Sound.
What level are you at with these Sega games?
Wow!
Safari Hunt, Ghostbusters, Choplifter, Black Belt, Hang On.
Yeah! So what level can you get to?
If you're going to spend your time playing video games, why not play them on something that can also teach you about computing? Get a Commodore VIC-20. It's tough to grow up in a computer age without learning about computers.
Okay, so a little bit more on the American side of things. It was not a lot going on there. America gave up on the Master System in 1992. Their last game was Sonic the Hedgehog 1. They concentrated more on the Mega Drive after that. So, time for the obligatory Sonic the Hedgehog music. This is Scrap Brain Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog 1. Bye bye, USA. Start. Lovely choice bit of music there. Yeah. Okay, so we've been to Japan and it failed. We've been to America and it's failed. Third time lucky, let's go to Europe.
C'est encore moi. Tu m'as toujours pas branché.
Alors sois sympa.
Branche-moi sur une Sega.
T'as monté?
Sega.
Bloody French. Right, okay. Europe. 1987. This time, instead of Sega taking part in building and distributing the consoles, the distribution side of things was handled by software companies. So Virgin for France, I think it was, Mastertronic for Britain, and Ariola Soft in Germany, amongst other places as well in Europe. But these are software companies. This is rather strange, so to speak. It's people who understand, well, it's just a better insight into the hardware, I guess, if you've got a software company looking into it. Not also this, but you've got the key talent from Europe that came about from Commodore 64 music. The Germans doing some amazing pieces of music there. You've got the Sinclair Spectrum with lots of British key talent. And don't forget the French, of course. The Amstrad CPC gave them a better opportunity. But of course, these keyboard computers, they were starting to die out in the early 90s. So let's go. We still got lots of knowledge of the 8-bit system. Let's go into the... Let's do this Master System thing. Seems to be going quite well. And so you've got some very good talents from Richard Joseph, Alistair Brimble, popular on the Commodore 64 scene. You've got Yero and Tell from the Commodore 64 scene. And Matt Furness, who's pretty much all over the place. this is fantastic stuff. So let's give you a rundown of these good pieces of music that was really for consoles released in Europe. Let's see the Master System. Well, sorry. Let's hear the Master System have its Renaissance period. Time for another commercial. Oh, it's a Toys R Us one. Now, figure out how the British one is a lot better than the American version.
There's a magical place, we're on our way there. With toys in the millions all under one roof. It's called Toys R Us.
From Sega, the Master System 2 is an 8-bit console. Plays over 120 fabulous games with superb graphics and high-quality sound. Toys R Us prize, $57.94.
There's millions of sets, every all under one roof. It's called Toys R Us, Toys R Us, Toys R Us.
Right, time for a swift pause now. Europe is getting quite popular there, popular in Europe. But there's just one thing missing. This is simple blippy bloppy music. There's also free areas as well. You've got Japan, America and Europe. There must have been something different in all those years. And yes, Japan had a head start on everything from the beginning. Not also did they have the Texas Instruments sound chip doing its free square waves. They also had the Yamaha chip. Yeah, I know, this sounds all techno-babbly, but this is called a frequency modulation chip, which means that you've got a better sound chip alongside the standard stock one. Mono sound, yes, but it's got 9 channels! This is a lot. This is like having your own mini orchestra available, so to speak. You could also expand these 9 channels into 6 channels of treble stuff. 5 channels of percussion, so you can have simple bash, 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 bash sounds. So, a good backing track. Enough of me talking about this. Japan had a better sound chip, but this sound chip wasn't put in the American versions and wasn't put in the European versions. Probably due to costs, probably due to copyright or intellectual property. Don't know. But let's give you an example of how good the Master System could have been if it followed the Japanese hardware. This is good. Okay, so a brief rundown. The TI chip, it was also used on the BBC Micro. It was also used in the IBM PC Junior, and a derivative of it was used on the TI-99. Okay, very simple, very duff computers, really. Okay, the YM chip was used not only for consoles, this was the chip used for the first Adlib and Sound Blaster cards that you put into your PC. So this was a revolution. I don't know why they didn't release it into the European market, at least. This is, wow, the first proper sound cards, and basically the start of what would lead to the powerful sound cards that you have in your system today. Turn on your Japanese Master System and you'll hear this wonderful thing. Oh, remember, this is Space Harrier. So recall what I asked you to remember earlier on and listen to this improved version.
Thank you.
Now, if that didn't pull in the punters in Japan, well, actually it didn't. What were they I was going to say, what were they doing? They were playing on their Famicoms, of course. Ho, 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 ho. Right. In Europe, it was going along very well, but it got discontinued in 1996, alongside the Game Gear and the Mega Drive, all at the same time, completely same point. And what was the reason? Because Sega wanted to promote their new Sega Saturn system. And as some people would say, the downward spiral started to begin for Sega. The last game that was released for the European Master System in 1996 was The Smurfs Travel the World. And with that, I'm going to call it quits on this episode and play the last pieces of music available in my little choice repertoire. It'll be two more pieces. One, which is the obligatory remix track. Someone quite recently, someone on YouTube, recently has decided to do the music from Crazy Taxi, the one with All I Want, convert that into something that could be played on a Master System. Quite a good entry. It's very good. I urge you to listen to it. And the final one will be Matt Furness, another Commodore 64, Amstrad CPC, Sinclair Spectrum graduate, who did the music for Sega Chess. Okay. It's quite pomp and circumstance. It's quite nice. My name has been Gigi Udraco. This has been Podcast Series 3, Episode 3. The next one will be on the Game Gear, which uses the exact same chip as the Master System, but the Game Gear had specific games that were made exclusively for the Game Gear. So I'm offering another episode to just showcase those specific games. Subscribe to the RSS feed, email me at podcast@podomatic.com. I am very sorry for the bandwidth issues at the moment. I hope they do get sorted out soon. And generally, bye bye.